Glory to God forevermore. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll continue looking at God's word with respect to preparing our hearts for the believers' meetings. Well, one of the ways we prepare it also is to actually practice God's word in the area of exercising our faith in the gift that God has given to us in the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start from there today. And I'm going to read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb by doors, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice in verse 3 that it starts off talking from verse 1 about the things of the Spirit. So when Paul says now concerning spirituals, it means the things that pertain to and of the Holy Ghost. So concerning those things, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now we'll look at that word ignorant because it doesn't mean what you think it means. Because contextually, the church at Corinth were not ignorant. They were actually familiar with the things of the Spirit. So the word ignorant actually means to ignore a reality. Something that has been given to you. Something that has been taught you. And then you now ignore the reality of what you have been taught. That's what it means by ignorant there. But look at verse 3 again. Wherefore I give it to another. No man speaking. So notice, when you want to explain the things of the Spirit, the primary base of operation is in utterance. Can you see that? Is in utterance. Now, if you lean towards traditional thinking, many will think it has to do with something is revealed or you were caught up in a trance. No. When it comes to the Christian faith, we began by confessing the lordship of Jesus and we entered into reality. When it comes to continuing along the same line, we also continue by speaking forth certain realities. Hallelujah. The difference is that when I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, I experienced His saving grace. But now that I'm saved, I keep speaking not just to experience, but because that is now my experience. Hallelujah. So notice what it says now. It says, wherefore I give you to understand. So what I'm sharing with you is to aid understanding. There is knowledge, there's understanding, there's wisdom. Knowledge is facts. Understanding is intellectually putting the facts together. Wisdom is the practice of the facts you put together. See what it says again. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking. So he's explaining things of the Spirit from the angle of speech, utterance. That's very important. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are difference of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh what? All in all. If English language means anything, all in all will be a reference to verse 4 and 5. So let me read verse 4 to 6 again. It says, now there are. Notice, I don't want you to ignore certain realities. So I'm giving you these truths to understand or to aid your understanding. Let me say it this way. If understanding is important when it comes to things of the Spirit, it means the operation and the expression is not entirely up to God. No. Most believers think that the operation and the expression of things of the Spirit is entirely up to God. Whatever God wants to do, we'll do. No. We know what God wants to do at all times by the written word. We know He doesn't do it outside of us. We know the church is constituted to be an expression of the realities that God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. So we know when the church has no understanding, the things of the Spirit will be stifled in expression. So Paul says, by the Spirit, I give you something to, and I'm offering you this knowledge so that you can understand. Why? If you understand, you would take your place and stand rightly positioned to express and to operate exactly the way God designed you to operate. So notice what he says again. Now, that is present tense continuous. There are diversities of gifts. That is in varieties of gifts. He says, boy, it's the same word, Spirit. That part is very important. Extremely important. You see, Paul is talking to a people who were once used to idol worship. And in idolatry, there's a God for everything. Let me explain what that means. Remember, this was a church that Paul wrote to in 1 Corinthians 8, where Paul taught, there may be gods many and lords many, but to us, there's but one God. By whom are all things, and we by Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are all things, and we in Him. So he's explaining to them, there are gods many and lords many, in the sense that the pagan way of thinking is to assume that the God that reveals is not the same one that speaks. The one who shows power is different from the one who grants utterance. So there's a God of fertility, according to the pagan world. There's a God of marriage. There's a God of business prosperity. So there are gods many and lords many. But Paul is emphasizing there are diversities of gift, but the same what? Spirit. And it's going somewhere. Because he wants them to understand that though the expressions, there are varieties in the expression of things of the Spirit, you must realize it's the same Spirit. So your focus should not be on the variety, but that same Spirit. Say, I have that same Spirit. Say, I have that same Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I read from verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. So the word loving them is for those who believe. For those who believe. That's what love there. Those who believe him. So to believe him means you have accepted the gospel, you have received Christ into your life, so you have believed. So there are things prepared. That means before the plan of salvation was executed, part of the promise was certain realities will begin to show up in the life of those who love God, that is those who believe and enter into that reality. Amen. It now says again, look at the next verse, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For one man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Look at verse 12. Let's read together. I want to go. Now we have received. Interestingly, every time you read verse 12, it will always be now. Say now. I mean right now. I've received. My reality is that I've received. Say, I've received that precious Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that quickened him, that raised him up, that set him on high. He has set me also on high. I'm in the Spirit because that Spirit dwells in me. Because now I have that Spirit. I will always have that Spirit. That Spirit is my reality. That Spirit makes me a son. And as a son, I function by my Father's ability that is present within me. Hallelujah. Now, what you just said now, when we step over into practicals, don't ignore it. You know it, you've confessed it, don't ignore. The word ignore means to be aware of a fact, but to turn your attention away from it. And if you turn your attention away from it, you will need to turn your attention to something else because nature abhors vacuum. So it's not that it's not there, it's there, but then that's not what you focus on at all times. Because there are other things in this human body that we can focus on. In fact, you don't need to focus, it will call your attention. For instance, when you want to minister spirituals, that's not when to remember you have not eaten since yesterday. I'm sorry you have not eaten since yesterday. Amen. But you can wait a few more hours. Amen. The food will be sweeter after your spirit has been refreshed. Someone says, Pastor, is that word of knowledge? No, it's word from knowledge. Don't focus on the fact that you're feeling weak because you didn't sleep well. You let that go. Because if you do that, you focus on your body will dictate to you how you will behave in a believer's meeting. But you see, your body can dictate sleep. It doesn't change for that. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is present within you. Ready to bless, ready to nourish people, ready to comfort people. That same Spirit is with you at all times. It doesn't change. As a matter of fact, it is the only constant believer has that doesn't fluctuate. Today you feel sad, tomorrow you feel happy. Those feelings will fluctuate, but the Spirit, hallelujah, that joy, that never failing, abiding presence is with you always. Always. Hallelujah. With you always. So he says, now we have received not the Spirit gifts of the world, but the Spirit gifts of God, that we may know what? The things which are freely given to us of God. Look at verse 13. Which things also we. So the first way of expressing what we have received is through what? Speech. Through speech. So if he told them that we have received the Spirit, chapter 2, look at chapter 3. Verse 16. Chapter 2, now we have received. That's in chapter 2. Look at chapter 3, look at verse 16. Know ye not that you are, say I am, the temple of God. Now, what do you know about temples? What does a temple imply or signify? A temple is a place where the service of deity is carried out. So if it says, know ye not, are you not aware that you are the temple of the living God? And see what it says in the Bible. It says, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So I'm God's temple. Because the Spirit dwells in me. You can't use textbooks to find the Spirit. You have to use God's word to navigate, to find where the Spirit of God is. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. And the revelation of that truth is what should govern your thinking. It says, know ye not. That's your consciousness. Are you not aware that the Spirit of God dwells in you and you are the temple? Say, I'm the temple. And spiritual activities, the service of God is carried out in me and through me. That's what he's saying. So I'm trying to show you that they were not ignorant. No. No, the word ignorance doesn't have the same English connotation. No, even not nice. The word ignorance in chapter 12 means they were ignoring certain realities. So chapter 2, it says, we have received the Spirit. Chapter 3, don't you know you have become the temple because the Spirit dwells in you? Look at chapter 6. Almost every chapter, really, but look at chapter 6. I read from verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Is that pastors? Is that pastors? So, and such were some of you, but you are washed. Well, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. I mean by the Spirit of our God. So when you say the name of Jesus, you mean the Spirit of God. The name of Jesus to the believer today, that is the Spirit of God. Because the name means, what did he accomplish? What can we summarize as what Jesus accomplished in death, burial, and resurrection? That's the Spirit that lives in us today. He says you are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified by the name of the Lord Jesus. I mean by the Spirit of our God. So the Corinthians were aware. But living side by side with that knowledge was in the consciousness of idols in some of them. They knew they had the Spirit. They knew they were the temples of the living God. But they were not necessarily walking in that reality. In other words, they gave it. You see, the difference between the Spirit living and dwelling in you and demon possession is what? Demon possession is forceful. It is off and on. But the Spirit lives in you forever. See, the Spirit is in me forever. So the things of the Spirit find expression by a function of your will, your knowledge, and your desires. I'm going to say that again. The things of the Spirit will therefore find expression through the believer as a function of your will, knowledge, and desire. Those are the three things that govern the things of the Spirit in expression. There's knowledge, then there's a place of desire, there's a place of your will. And all three of them work together for the expression of things of the Spirit. So Paul says, wherefore I give you to understand. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now, and verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of one operations, but it is the same one, Lord, that worketh one all in all. Let's read further. But the manifestation. When you hear manifestation, what comes to your mind? Exposure. Now, here it's called full disclosure. That is, the fullness of the Spirit in expression is given to every man for the profit of all. Let me put it this way. You don't have a quarter of the Holy Ghost, you have the full Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost in portions, you have the full Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in full, you cannot be a son. So he says, but the manifestation, that's why it's not in plural, it is manifestation. Because there can only be one full disclosure, you don't have several disclosures. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all, for the profit of all. So because it's for the profit of all, what you have therefore will be the Holy Ghost in the dimension in which the saints around you require him. Let me say that again. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. It's called manifestation. That is, the Spirit in full expression is given to everyone, but it's for the profit of all. So in other words, it's a function of what the saint needs that should flow through me. If it is in portions, I will have some, I won't have another. But remember, he kept emphasizing same Spirit, same Lord. It is same God that works with all and is in all. Say, I have the word of knowledge. I have the word of wisdom. I have design of spirits. I have gifts of healings. I have gift of special faith. I have working of miracles. I have diverse kind of tongues. I have interpretation of tongues. And I flow in prophecy. All this worketh. That same Spirit. That same Spirit dwells in me today. That same Spirit I yield to today. That same Spirit will bless me through me today. So the Spirit doesn't have a conduit except the saint yields. The Spirit does not have a conduit to flow through except a saint, a member of the body, starts to yield. So in order to help them to yield appropriately, Paul begins to teach and says, wherefore I give you to understand. That's the key. In Ramos Efredi Kale, Chumush Tefretile, Kugus Sifra Dakatia, Enus Ambrakiete, Liko, Mekika Satile, Lei Shuru Takabite. You say time is going. If I do not invest the money now, I'm going to lose it. But wait a bit. For it is written, he that believeth shall not make haste. Hold on a bit more, and the right idea will come, and the right individual will show up, and the deal will be better than what you thought you would get yourself in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone says, is God interested in how I invest? Oh, yes. He's a good father. He's a good father. Hallelujah. He's a good father. That's for someone. Who's the person? Who's the person? Yeah. Can you see? Is that easy? Now, what do they need to hear? That operated through tongues. There was interpretation. There was prophecy. But there was what? Revelation. And there were two forms of revelation. There was word of knowledge. There was also word of wisdom. I mean, if you know. Now, those are five already in operation. We separate them for the purpose of explanation. But they usually work together like fingers on your hand. Now, did God want to say that to someone? Yes. What was he waiting for? A conduit. Who's a conduit? Someone who is yielded. It could be any saint. It does not have to be the pastors. But let me tell you something that's very important. One of the reasons why we have believers is so that you will hear some things from fellow saints that didn't come from your pastor. You know why? So that you can believe that God is speaking to you. You know, sometimes in ministering to people, it can be difficult to tell them what God is saying because they've shared some things with you. And they think you're canceling them from what they told you. So they don't need friends when you're just canceling from your wisdom and when you're speaking them by the Spirit of God. I told Pastor yesterday. That's why I'm using that illustration today. That's why he just had that word. That he just had a word. No, the word is from knowledge I shared with him. But when a sister you've never spoken to in your life, or you've only greeted casually in church, walks up to you, now she may not even know what she's saying, but she's yielded to the Spirit. May not make sense to her. And that's why obedience is very important to God. Many of us were waiting for what is revealed to make sense. We went for evangelism yesterday, and where's Brother Femi? Yeah. He said he was with a person, and he just said OAU. And what someone wants to think? What's OAU in this matter? I'm evangelizing. What's the meaning? What's my business with OAU? And he was speaking to a particular lady, and the lady said, that's the school I've been trying to get into. And God obviously was trying to reassure her that the door is still open. I'll still make a way for you. Somebody you never met before. But if someone said, where's OAU? Is that word? Is that word? He said, thus hear the Lord. I see. In the realms of the Spirit. Leave the drama alone. Amen. Talk normally. Be yourself. Has God ever spoken to you and said, is that how you normally speak? Even when me I'm talking to you, is that how you behave? Which one of the shaking of head and shaking? Just be normal. Just be normal. Leave the drama aside. Amen. Be more calm. Don't be like some of us. Everybody we saw prophesying in our lives, they started by shouting and screaming. We thought that was the Spirit moving. We knew it was flesh. I know it's very bad when you are a guy and want to copy a woman. Every man just, so you say, If there's a meme for the Holy Ghost, okay? This is not me. This, brother, but this is not me. This cannot be me. What was asking about? No, that's you. And there's some things we try to do to convince men. We don't need it. Just talk normally. Hallelujah. Just talk normally. He said, just pick it up. Just told the person. If you were so self-conscious and we yield, and that may just be the word the person needs to tilt over to the side of God. Just that phrase. All it was OAU. And it made sense. It didn't really make sense to him. No. But it made sense to the lady. And that's how the things of Jesus are sometimes ministered. Listen, trying to remember, it's gone to be with Lord now. Part Egan's husband, part Buddy Harrison. It wasn't a meeting. Listen, the supernatural can be so simple, you can miss if you're not careful. It was so simple, he said that he just heard, said God says he wants to heal someone today. Then the next thing he heard was switches. Say switches. So now, instead of start thinking that, if I'm really a man of God, let me have something more strong. I can be like, switches what? Do we need to switch off the light in the church? Switches. When you want to use your head to calculate God, say, he has switches. Now listen carefully, nobody got up. And if you are walking with God, you've got to learn to be bold. Listen, you can give a word. The person is there and they may not stand up. Number one, they are too shy to stand up. Number two, they've forgotten they have the condition. I'm telling you, people can live with a condition they've even forgotten about. It's even me. People have come to meet me after service. Rev, it's like it's me you are talking about too. Service is over. I've called. So if I'm too conscious about, so I've been in meetings when I gave a word and person didn't get up. And I just smiled. Because I know operating during the Baptist ministry, I didn't say, thus said the Lord. After this announcement, the door is closed. And the people came to meet me after the service. Sir, it's me. And I just trusted God for grace to say minister. Because that's human being. Now, Jesus is bearing with them. So who am I? Me too, I will bear. Because my ego is not in the equation at all. It's not that, I gave 5. About 15 people stood up. Man of God. No, the man of God is the one that preaches the gospel and shares the word of God. Say amen. Those ones are to confirm. So you must not take your focus from the message to the sign that confirms the message. Which one is more important? The message. So it says switches. So somebody got up and lifted up his hands. Well, I don't know if it's talking about me because I'm an electrician and I just fixed some switches in the house during the week. He said, well, let's find out what goes on. You come. When the man stood up to come forward, he began to limp. He said, you are the one. God wants to heal. God wants to heal somebody of a limp. And God started with switches. So if your ego is big, and you're like, if you even call it God, don't you know more than switches? Can't you tell me more? No, sometimes he will test your faith for your obedience to know whether you can handle more. He will. That's the way it works. Guess what? The man was instantly healed. Where was God going to? Somebody had a limb. He fell when he was fixing it. He had a limb. God wanted to heal. And God said, well, switches. So if the man of God is not ready to start work with switches, nothing happens. You don't get more. No further information will be given to you. So if you're going switches, I know my members. Nobody here is an electrician. Nobody is switching anything off. But why don't you just yield and just minister? Because there are diversities. Hallelujah. There are diversities. Same spirit. Now, the spirit that wants to heal that man gave a revelation. Why? Diversity, same spirit. Difference of administration, same Lord. Now, administration is how you minister the gift. Let me say it again. Administration is how you minister, which is peculiar to individuals. It's peculiar. God wants to heal 15 people. You bring a Benny Hinn on the stage. You bring a Renan Bonke on the stage. You bring, give me another one now. Moise Lou on the stage. Interestingly, the way they will minister healing will be different. You bring 100 people on the stage. You bring about 3 of those ministers. You bring Pastor Chris there. He will minister primarily by touching. Some will minister by praying from a distance, by speaking. Pastor Kumi will not lay hands. He will call them in a systematic order. He's very organized. It's now time for the blind. Thank you, Father. It's now time for the lame. He's systematic. And because he's not even shouting, he's even more annoying. Because you are shouting. Things are not happening. He's talking slowly. It was so bad, the ministry, that we even tried to copy his voice. In Jesus, maybe there's a formula to the way because Jesus, in Jesus' name. After you've done that, you are still waiting for the person to get up. So you'll be systematic, like you call blind, and you don't rush anything. The lame, now the deaf, and you'll be hearing things happen, commotion just happening, and it's only hands on anybody. If a Christ comes in, diversity of administrations, same spirit, it's same spirit. Neither of them have a different spirit, it's same spirit. And that spirit is what every single believer has. Every single believer. But the way administration is carried out, administration is men at work. That's how men yield to the spirit. That is what is responsible for the way you prophesy, the way I prophesy. That's what's responsible for the way you speak tongues, the way I speak tongues. That's administration. Operation is the fact that when I'm teaching, if you've been with over the years, that's an operation. That one is not within the realm of desire. That's an office. So an operation is I'm teaching. And I'm interrupted in my teaching. And that's an operation. That's an office. I hope you understand what I just said. That's an operation. That's how I operate. And I had to discover it also. But I want you to notice something that Paul kept emphasizing. Go back to that 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Look at verse 7. Praise God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another design of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But all this worketh, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, what? Severally. The word dividing means distributing. Listen carefully. Dividing means to distribute. Now, in case you're thinking, he didn't distribute this one to me, listen carefully. Same spirit is the emphasis. There's love, double emphasis. So from verse 4, Paul began to emphasize same spirit to let you see that within that spirit there are diversities. So your focus should not be on the diversity. The focus should be on what? Same spirit. So same spirit will mean whatever the spirit has in diversity is available to me. That's what Paul is teaching. So, never allow the thought to cross your mind. I don't walk in walking of miracles. Well, the answer is in that statement. You don't walk in it. Somebody says, why? Because you refuse to walk in it. I don't walk in. The statement is an answer on its own. You have not walked in it. Because it's not that I have diverse kind of tongues and have interpretation, but I don't have gifts of healings. What you may not have will be operations, but you have gifts of healings. Say, I have gifts of healings. Because I have that same spirit. Have that same spirit. So that people who are set in the body, who in the operation you see through them is in specific ways, but you have that same spirit that is working through them in that designated way. You don't have the office, but you have the spirit of that office. Amen. Listen carefully. He says, all this work at that one, the self-same spirit, dividing, distributing to every man. And this is where the challenge sometimes is. I'm on the Pentecostal charismatics over the years, argument has been. But because by the law of contextual interpretation, he's emphasizing same spirit. So when he says, all this worketh that one, the self-same spirit, dividing or distributing to everyone severally, the word severally means individually, as those individuals will. Listen carefully. It's not as a spirit will. Because the spirit was given in full measure. The manifestation, the full disclosure of the Spirit. The full Spirit in expression was given to every man, but it's for the profit for one. So whatever variety is in the Spirit, I will find it at work through me when I yield, because I want to be a blessing to the brethren, the saints. So it's not even given to me for my personal consumption. It's given to me for the benefit of all. Say amen. So notice again, dividing, that's what distributing. It means per time, what is needed is distributed, because men now understand that God is always willing to bless, to nurture, to comfort, to heal someone every single time. So the person God is ministering to, let's leave those who operate in offices out. The person God is willing to minister to is the person who desires to be a blessing. So look at 1 Corinthians. Before we go to 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12 quickly. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are what? One body. So also is Christ. What is he emphasizing? One Spirit. One Spirit. Some people don't have another spirit other than you. So the sister that is flowing gifts of healings has the same spirit. Again, beyond operations, that sister yielded to that particular variety of the gifts of the Spirit, and therefore that sister administered it. But it's available for everyone in the body. Available for everyone in the body. So the brother that always gives tongues and interpretation is getting more established, more developed, because he's working and developing himself along those areas, because he's constantly yielding. And now we're going to get to what I call the denominator. That is the one that is like the one that is the equalizer for every single saint, which is where we began at the beginning of the series. We're going to go back to in chapter 14, because chapter 12 came before chapter 14 to explain that whenever you see tongues and interpretation, always known God wants to give a gift. The two will be the doorway into all the other seven. Let me say it again. The two will be the doorway into the other seven. I just demonstrated this earlier, isn't it? So the two opened us up to three other ones, isn't it? So the two will be the doorway to all the others. That's what Paul is trying to communicate. Now, the question is this. The way for me to know all the others are available is that I start with the two. I start with tongues and what? Interpretation. And when I start with that, every other one will what? Open up to me. That's what he's trying to teach. So he says, as a body is one, I has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, they are one body, so also is Christ. Look at verse 13. Oh, glory to God. For by one Spirit, say by one Spirit, that same Spirit, are we baptized into one body. So whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Can you see that now? One Spirit. Say one Spirit. I've been made to drink into one Spirit. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 now. Right, let's start from verse 1. So the Paulus Fredella Kitumuri Estefradile Kitania and Kumro Masite Friata Latiste and Sumukia Meloburo Merabaliana Shite Eki Etusa. Dreams, revelations in the night are not strong enough to thwart the authenticity of the word of God. The integrity of the word is bigger than any dream and greater than any attack of the enemy. For if the word came before, the threat of the enemy will fail in light of the word. So learn to hold up aloft the word, even above prayer, for the word should lead you to pray, and not that prayer should lead you to the word, for the word will give you the outcome even before you pray. So before you cast and bind, rejoice first that the word is true, and that God is on your side, and you will fulfill the length of your days. Hallelujah. Now, as I spoke that, I know what I saw. You had a dream, a vision, so to speak, in the night, from the negative side of the spirit, where there was a threat against your life and about things not working out. And the Spirit of God says that the tendency when you wake up in fear is first start binding and casting. It says, but no, first of all, look for the word and speak the word and let the word dictate your action, whether to panic or to rejoice. Let the word therefore govern your response to the revelation, because that revelation is not bigger or stronger than what he has said. And what he has said therefore will come your experience despite the intensity of the attack of the enemy that you saw in the revelation. If you understand, let me see your hand. That's what the Spirit of God just said to us now, to us. That means hold the word above every other thing. I'll fulfill the length of my days. I'm not going to fail. I'm a success in motion. The hand of God is strong upon my life. He's moving me forward. I'm experiencing increase in all areas of life. I will not suffer la fretile kite yellow toko mimbre ala shitokuru este. You know, in the service this morning, you can divest yourself of that fear of encountering and experiencing a debilitating disease. Here this morning, the fear has been hovering over your consciousness. You don't know why. It has been coming repeatedly. That sickness will break forth in your body. It will be terminal. It's been coming. But the Bible says, now I'm demonstrating what I said earlier now. how you use the word against such things. What does the scripture say? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. My mind is sound. I refuse to be oppressed. Great is my peace. I'm in Zion. And in Zion, no weapon formed against God shall prosper. You just assume that it's normal that thoughts should come that way. That you may not live long because your life will be cut short. That sickness will just spring up. No. Health is springing up in my body. In my 70s, I'm alive and well. In my 80s, I'm strong and flourishing. I'm blossoming. I'm doing new works for Jesus. I'll be on this side of heaven. He said, occupy till I come. So I will wait till he comes. I'm not in a hurry to go and meet him because he's with me always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Nothing will move me from my assignment. Nothing will shift me from where he placed me. I will live long, a long, full life. I will leave a legacy for my children's children, a legacy of faith in the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You stand your ground. You stand your ground. God's word is the final authority. You stand your ground. Nothing is bigger, nothing is mightier. There's no force in the universe stronger than the integrity of God's word. If he has said it, he will do it. Glory to Jesus forevermore. That's how you stand your ground. Hallelujah. All right, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I know you are here. Oh, praise God forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Glory to God. Many times the things of the Spirit will have eternal value without you knowing. I was going to minister in Ibadan, 2005. The song I just sang now, that's when it came. I was driving alone in the car. I sang out that song by the Spirit. Thank God I was able to record it. Usually sing that first stanza. We don't sing the second one, but one of these is. I'll sing out the second one. And I don't know how many spiritual songs are on my phone that I just sang out. Mostly for my personal benefit. Because that's the kind of God. He's alive and well. Oh, Jesus is alive and well. And he will give you melodies of his redemption to surround you in the day and in the night. So that fear will not have any room in your life. Look at David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my lips. Psalm 34 from verse 1. Oh, come, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Listen, and he delivered me from my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him from all his troubles. But the major issue was not the trouble first. That's external. It was the fear. The fear of, what if it doesn't work out? What if he fails? David said, I sought the Lord. The first thing he dealt with was that hidden part of me that men cannot see. The fear, he extinguished it by the light of his hope. And then I saw the result on the outside. He delivered him from all my troubles. So they looked unto him and they were lighting. And their faces were not ashamed. That means there was no disappointment in trusting. The answer came. The answers will come. The answers will come. The answer came. The answers will come. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Praise God forevermore. From verse 1, follow after love, that's what charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Look at the next verse. For he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understanding, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Verse 3, we're going to verse 5. So, but he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I would that ye all, so pay attention. You all is only English for all of you. That's a plurality. All of you. So I would means I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather, so this is the understanding he brought to the church at Corinth. They were speaking in tongues. That wasn't a problem. He was now teaching when you come together in your gathering, in the local assembly. I want all of you to speak with tongues. What is he referring to as all of you to speak with tongues? I want all of you to be ready to minister. That's what he's saying. Verse 1, follow after love, then desire the things of the Spirit in order that you may prophesy. He told you in verse 4, he that speaks in tongues only edifies himself, but he that prophesies does what? Edifies the church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a chapter on edifying the church. It means that's the goal of the things of the Spirit. It's about the church and about you. That's what it's teaching. That's what I want you to understand. It's not for bragging. It's not for showing up. It's about edifying the church. The saints need to be comforted. The saints need supernatural assurance. So the supernatural ought to be consistently at work. And because we're the temple of the living God, individually and corporately, that same Spirit will want to manifest himself through you and through me. So Paul says, I would that you all take the posture of ministration. Take the posture of laboring together with God to bring something to somebody else. That's what he means by I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. That word rather means especially, in order to arrive at that prophecy. That's what he's saying. So I would that you all speak with tongues. In verse 2, it says, he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men but to God. For no man understandeth, albeit in the spirit. He's making sense, but he's not talking to men. Now, the purpose, therefore, of talking to God is not talking about tongues in a personal space. No. The rules in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 do not apply to tongues in a personal space. No. It applies to tongues in a local assembly, in a gathering of the saints. So he will use certain terminologies. I can execute a spiritual activity that will not be a blessing to the saints. That's what he's saying. Because if I speak in tongues only, I'm speaking to God, for no man understandeth. But the fruit of my yielding to God is that men should understand. That's the purpose. That's why it starts by saying, I want you to follow love, or let love lead the way and you follow. So when love is leading the way, so my intent is not to boast, not to brag, not to show up. I want to bless someone. Love is leading me. It is safe to desire the things of the Spirit. I think there's a word of knowledge that this sister needs to hear now. How do I start? I'm going to present her with an envelope in the Spirit. It is of no use if I give you an envelope you cannot open, because I'm meant to give you the envelope and help you to open it. Hallelujah. So when I start with tongues, like, there's a gift that God wants to give to you. So my starting out in tongues is making you anticipate something God wants to do. Now imagine if I wait in vain. You spoke in tongues, you didn't follow through. And I was anticipating, because the minute you started tongues, I was waiting for something. Something's about to happen. Somebody wants to share a gift with me. There's something God wants to give me that you're about to give me, and then suddenly you shut off. Because you didn't follow through, because you didn't follow the understanding that Paul talks about. He says, follow after love, then desire things of the Spirit, especially so that you can want to prophesy. Now look at what he says again. Look at verse 5 again. So I want all of you to be able to speak with tongues, that is, get into position to minister. You are going to co-labor with God. You want to bring something out. He says, but rather or in order or especially so that you can prophesy. Notice, for greater is he. Now, again, English language can rob us of the intent of the writer. What is in? The word greater actually means that there is an end, a conclusion to the tongues I started with. When I get to that conclusion, that's the greater. When I don't arrive there, there's no greater. He will use that same word in Tatingi before, more excellent, excel, profit. So in verse 5, he used greater. In verse 6, he says profit. He's talking about the same thing. So greater means what the tongues was meant to convey, it conveyed it. Then I've done the greater. So if I start with tongues, I don't interpret, which is prophecy, I've not done the greater. It also means the greater is available the minute I start out in tongues. Hallelujah. Say the greater is available. Now, if you don't have any example to follow, follow my example. Watch me. I hope you know none of the things I do is rehearsed. I just come, I just flow. I just pray, I study, and I come to flow. Sometimes I see the service, sometimes I don't. And I think God is trying to teach me a lesson so that I don't get too used to it. There was a season when I would pray to see every service. I would see. Then there was a season when I stopped seeing anything. What will happen? Panic will set in. Hey, what's going to happen now? You know what's happening? You are getting spoiled. You don't want to move by faith again. Then there was another time. It seems as though when I don't see, most spectacular things happen, and I didn't want to be seen again. Human beings are funny people. I'm telling you. Even God was like, why are you like this? Just tell me, why are you like this? Instead of you to find the healthy balance. You know, when I don't even know what's going to happen. I was trying to explain to a fellow minister. I saw, it's like whenever I'm preparing for service, it's like I'm always afraid. I say, you're not afraid. It's the anointing. So what happens when you get there? I said, things happen. I said, but keep on being afraid every time since things are happening. I'm trying to say that the things of the Spirit, you learn them and you catch them. You catch them. Have you ever seen me use the Spirit and I call somebody here? God will destroy you. You are a family. Have you seen it before? So where will you get it from when you want to minister to the saints? If I'm the example you are meant to follow. Think about it. He that speaks in tongues, or prophesies, speaks unto men, edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. That means he must have those three characters, or it's actually one, but that's the definition of what he carries. Comfort. If it's not comforting now, if somebody stands in the prophetic office and brings a warning, that's different. Funny enough, even in the warnings of God, there's still comfort. There's still comfort, even in the warnings of God. So he that prophesies, he's speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in tongues, edifies himself. When that prophesies, edifies the church. So I would that all of you speak with tongues, take the position, in order that you may want to prophesy. For greater is he. So the word greater again means getting the job done. Arriving at the conclusion is the one that prophesies, more than the one who speaks in tongues, except the one who speaks in tongues does what? Interprets. When you use the word accept, the implication is that it's according to the individual's will. He can choose to interpret. He can choose not to what? Interpret. That means it's not up to God. When you say accept, in that context, it means it's up to the person to interpret or not to what? Interpret. So why would you interpret? Because you are prioritizing love. What is love? Speaking unto men, edification, and what? Exhortation and comfort. Is it good to start with tongues? It's better to start with tongues. Why? Tongues is like a gift that is wrapped, that will be opened. That gift is available to everyone that will take it up. So the minute I come to you, listen carefully to the description. If I come to you, verse 6, look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you, now listen carefully. This is a local assembly. So let's assume I'm seated and I'm doing... Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? And I stand up. The minute I come this way and I do the same thing, he should be expectant. I'm in the same local assembly. I was in local assembly when I sat over there. I'm in local assembly when I'm here now. The difference is that when I sat there, what was I doing? Talking to God. When I come here, what am I doing? I'm about to talk to him. So when I say to God in tongues only, will he edify me as I'm talking to God? But what God is doing is that he's building me up so I can minister to him. So the build up, it means I get strengthened to deliver a package to him. When I come to him now, both the package and the wrapping on the package is with me. So he should have an expectation when I come. So he's teaching that within the context of a local assembly, I can step away to talk to God and to myself. I can step forward when I want to minister. I can. And you will discover something. Even in place of prayer, when you're talking to God, and it's only God alone, and when it's time to step up to go and minister to people, how many of you have sometimes experienced that the tone of the tongue changes? How many of you have experienced that? Now, those are not things you can go to school to learn. You can only learn local assembly by experience. You begin to learn that, okay, now when I want to deliver the message, and I know what they call diversity of tongues. That there's a way it came out is a bit different from the way I normally pray, my prayer language. How many of you want to come to? So you begin to work with God that way. Again, don't be too concerned about how it sounds. Be concerned that you're about to walk in love. And every time you walk in love, you're doing God's will and you're pleasing the Father's heart every single time. So be less self-conscious. Be less self-conscious. Be more people conscious because you are in a local assembly where people need to be blessed. Now, look at verse 23. Pardon me for jumping. Or let's look at verse 13 first. That's verse 12. Let me from verse 12. Verse 12. See what it says. Even so, ye, that's plural, as much as you're zealous of things of the Spirit, seek or focus on excelling to the edifying of the saints. The word excel means to overbound, to overflow in the area of edifying the saints. So I'm looking for the things of the Spirit. I'm desiring. My focus should be, how do I excel in ministry? So that if somebody is passing by me in local assembly, I will have something to give to them. So it's no longer about how nice it sounds, how they perceive me, how I appear. It's no more about how grammatically correct my English is. If you ever received interpretation in Yoruba before, you know what I'm talking about. I have. And every time I give interpretation in Yoruba, I become fluent. When interpretation goes away, I'm no longer fluent. I have to discover that also. That it will come. It will carry weight when it comes for that way. So imagine me being concerned about, do I have the right Yoruba metaphor now? Can Jesus give you a metaphor in Yoruba to speak that you don't even know properly? Yes. If it will be a blessing to the saints. So your readiness to yield is what is interested in. But remember, yielding is not the last thing you do. It's the first thing you do. The last thing you do is that let that yieldedness lead you to the place of prophesying or interpreting so that the person can receive what God wants to pass across to them. Look at verse 13. We're going to get into this more in detail. Wherefore, let him. What is wherefore? It's the same thing as therefore. So it's telling you why verse 12 makes sense. What does it say in verse 12? Look at verse 12 again. It says, even so you now, as much as you are zealous, okay, you are desirous of things of the Spirit, seek or focus on one thing that you overflow in the area of blessing saints. Look at verse 13. Look, since that's what you are going to focus on. Therefore, let him that speaks in tongues pray. The word pray there also means desire that I may what? Interpret. Say, I desire that I may interpret consistently. Now, let me say it again. Let me go back to where I started from. Knowledge. We have the same Spirit. That same Spirit divides to every man individually as each man will. Knowledge. Number two, desire. What fosters your desire? Love. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a comfort to the brethren. That is what is motivating me. That is what may make me yield to the things of the Spirit. Then finally, my will. So knowledge plus desire will position my will to exercise the things of the Spirit. Let me say that again. Knowledge, because by the time you get to verse 14, look at verse 14. See what it says. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my son is unfruitful. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with what? The Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. So can I say, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the interpretation also? Is that correct? So notice will comes in because two things have been accomplished. There's knowledge. Knowledge makes you desire. Desire makes you set your will. It now says, since the job is done on God's side, and I know it's done, that's knowledge, I can desire what God wants to do to come out through me. I'm a conduit. Then I will set my will accordingly. So my will is the final thing that is set in motion for the things of the Spirit to flow through me. Hallelujah. For the things of the Spirit to flow through me. So there are times when I'll be sent to you directly. There are times when love will move me in your direction. I don't know what it is, but I just sense to come towards you that God wants to say something to you. The person that's telling you that does not know what God wants to say yet. So where does this start from? It starts with tongues. You're stirring up the waters of the Spirit. Without fail, something will comfort. It will comfort, it will strengthen, it will edify. So what most of us do is that we start out the journey without completing it. If notice all you are doing is tongues, step back. Speak to yourself and to God. The Bible says that be silent in the church doesn't mean be silent completely. It means speak to yourself and to God. What does that mean? Walk on yourself until you are edified and then come forth again and come and give it. That means there's no downtime. You're not speaking to the saints, you're speaking to God while you're edifying yourself again. Until that boldness rises up within you, then you step forward again. That's what you do. So what most of us do is that, Pastor, it's not coming out. What's not coming out? I thought tongues just came out of you now. That's supernatural activity. That's love flowing out. What you should have done is tarry, stay. So let him that speaks in tongues, let him pray or desire that I may what? Interpret. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will want. So it means only your will is not left in the equation to be sorted. I set my will to pray in the Spirit. That's how tongues came out. I will not set my will to give interpretation or the understanding. It's a function of your will. Say, my will is important in operating the Spirit. So love motivates me. Love grants me knowledge. Knowledge sets my desire. My desire strengthens my will. And you see the equation. That's how it operates. Because, again, let me say this, and I think I said it last week. If you function in gifts, when I say functional, a certain operation of the word that operates to you, lean more on the word than on the experiences. Because if you lean on the gifts, the day is not functioning. Doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless people. But because it's absent or it's not functioning at that point in time, you are so used to the gift functioning, it hasn't gone away in that sense. When you're done, maybe you're not making a connection. The word of God will build you out. So you must be ready to go to the basic level. Oh, you give spectacular word of knowledge. You give word of wisdom. You see visions. Praise God. The day that doesn't happen, God is still true. His word is still true. You still come to anybody with tongues. So you are the one who will draw. The other time, we poured water on you. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, it's like we're pouring water on you. Now, don't forget that there was a time you used to dig and put in the fetcher yourself. Don't outgo putting the fetcher. That is the one that grows your Christian experience, not the other one. The other one, power of God, comes upon you to do ministry. That one doesn't grow you spiritually. But the one of you fetching, you are discovering by trial. You are proving the will of God regularly, continuously, so you know that psalms can come out at any point in time. Hallelujah. There's no special anointing now. It is the same one that all of us have. Hallelujah. In the gathering of the saints, you know, in our believers' meetings, I used to ask some of the pastors to start out at the primary level. If I'm I. I don't know how to describe that to you. When I say if I'm I now. Instead of starting out at the initial, I'm starting out with revelation of power gifts already. I want to build up. And it's a meeting. Because it's not for showing up, it's for building up. I want to, but so I will ask those who can quickly start with. I hope you understand what I'm saying. By the time they're doing that, I'm calming down. I'm just being there with you. Somebody says, why? Because in the gathering of the saints, listen, the operations, if Holy Ghost meeting, that's allowed. But when it comes to believers' meetings, we want to start at that. Let's demonstrate. Sometimes we say, but Stephen, come and give a message in tongues. Pastor Timmy, please interpret for us. And we do that for the next 30 minutes. And then we say, you know, we sense that. In fact, not that we sense. While they are doing that, and he keeps ministering in tongues, and they may switch. You minister tongues now. You interpret now. They will step over into revelation. Revelation will move to you to power. Oh, there's somebody here who have so and so pain. You are entering power gifts. Because what you have revealed is a condition that requires power. I hope you understand. They are connected. So we started from the basic so that every saint can see that we can walk in this. Some believers have come during those meetings. Sir, this scripture just kept coming to me. And the scripture was opened up was about healing. You had a revelation from scriptures that somebody needs healing. That's word of knowledge. But it came by scripture. It didn't sound spectacular, but it's still revelation by the Spirit. I mean, you understand? And then while that is going on, Sister Tolu starts singing a song. He didn't hear what we're saying about God healing everybody. What is same Spirit talking to two of them? To her, through songs. To you, through scriptures. How many of you know I'm talking about? And then Pastor Tolu said, before I came to church this morning, it's like I saw us laying hands. Three confirmations. Out of a matter of two or three witnesses. That's how God works in the local assembly. No superstars allowed, except Jesus. head of the church. What is he delighting in? He's smiling at every saint who is yielding one by one. Yeah. He's encouraging you. Yeah, give it up, give it up. That's it. That's it. We're joined here together with him. Hallelujah. God has not given us spirit of fear. We have not received the spirit of money again in fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 15. I'm not afraid of the things of my Father, the things of my spirit. They're my natural habitat. I operate in the spirit. I desire spirituals. I overflow to the edifying of the saints. In this service today, I'm a blessing to someone. I'm a conduit of the supernatural. A word of encouragement and comfort and revelation and the gift of power flows through me to be a blessing to my neighbor, my brother, and my sister. They will hear a word today that will change their story. Somebody's faith needs to be strengthened, and God wants to do it through you. It is that love that motivates you. You step out of focusing on yourself. You think about others. And how much God cares that he will call someone like you. Look at Paul's statement. I, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? Ephesians 3 verse 8. And I should preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable. He said, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? He repeated in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I'm less than the least of all apostles. I'm not even fit to be called an apostle. And look at what God is doing through me. So that the excellency of the power may be seen to be of God and not of us. Say, I'm not looking to myself. I'm looking to the ability of God that abides in me. God's power, God's ability abides in me. I'm a conduit. I'm a steward of the supernatural. Hallelujah. What speaking tongues you did this morning? Now, remember, especially that you may want prophesy. So when you're speaking in tongues now, you are getting ready to prophesy. I mean, someone, you will get up and minister to someone. You are getting ready to minister to somebody. So speak quietly in tongues. You're preparing your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Every time we come together, we must have a little time to do practicals. Father, you alone and worthy. Now, one of the things that I want us to take home from this meeting is how much a little instruction can go so far. I want us to see how important and vital that is. If Pastor Lou hadn't gotten up, Pastor Tony hadn't confirmed, our sisters hadn't gotten up, just imagine what is locked, what God wants to do. All the things you saw are what God wants to do. What he wanted to do before we came together, that was waiting for us to come together. And even after we come together, somebody has to yield. Somebody has to yield. So the lesson is, be less self-conscious. Be more saint-conscious. There's something I have somebody needs today. And I'm also going to receive what I need from somebody else. He that waters shall be watered also. I'm saying that because our meetings are about to get bigger. But this is how we start. This cooperation is very important to God. This love of the Spirit is extremely important. Where all we're thinking about is how somebody else will be blessed. Your need, obviously, will be taken care of. God knows your need. He will send somebody to say something to you or to reassure you or to confirm. But your entire focus should not be on your need. It should be on somebody else's need. So be less self-conscious. I was standing up to go minister. Never say what you have is too little. No. It's when you give that it multiplies it. Let what you have be like the two fishes and the five loaves. And as you begin to give, it begins to multiply it to be a blessing to people. That's where it's leading us. That's where it's guiding us. It's a school. A church, local assembly is a school where it teaches us. I learn every day. I don't know if anybody who's perfect, who's gotten here yet. I'm learning when I receive things, when to keep quiet, when to hold on, when to wait for the appropriate time. How more clarity will be given. So it's not always spectacular, but it's always supernatural. Like it can flow through me because we share the same blood in Christ Jesus. We have the same spirit. If he can speak through me, it's because he can also speak through you. That's the way he wants it to be, so that everybody is interdependent. No one is independent. That's the way he wants it to be. One love, one body, one spirit, same Lord, overall, who is rich unto all that call upon him. That's the way he wants us to operate. I tell you, there's no attack or anything that can be sustained. There's no barrier he can place that will not be surmounted or overcome when we function this way. There will be no loopholes for the enemy to take or steal any. He won't be able to walk at all because the workings of God will be too strong in our midst, driven by the love of God. That is what he wants. Before a mishap can occur in somebody's life, somebody has been warned. The assembly has dispelled it. That is the gift of a local assembly, the gift of fellowshipping with the brethren. It's not a social gathering. We socialize after the meeting. But before we socialize, there's this is a spiritual reality that Christ is authority. He's made manifest in the house. That's what he wants to do. And we're going to cooperate with him. And we're going to cooperate more and more. You know, this is a believer's meeting. We're going to have 6 hours, the last Saturday of this month.